Well, Chuckle Fox, here's the deal. I'm here to find Logan, and the problem is Logan's very dead, okay? So adamantium bones. Now, the TVA keeps hounding my ass trying to find this. Well, they're going to learn very quickly the power of NCY and the power of Bye 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 and Gen X references. Let's do this. Maximum effort.
Hello and welcome to Parents Worry. My name is Jake Parker. I'm your host today, and today's guest, well, I found him on TikTok. I think he's an absolute star, but I'd like him to introduce himself.
Hi there. My name is Lucas Mendevi. I am a voice actor, writer, general nerd, and aka the new kind of voice.
Fantastic. I absolutely love that intro. That was amazing.
Can you tell that I haven't memorized?
A little bit. That was so cool. Oh, I need to have an intro like that. That was an amazing intro. Okay, so let's start off with, obviously, you're not from the UK. So this is a very different podcast for me.
No, I'm not.
I normally do it based on the UK stars, but obviously it's a bit different. So I have a quick question for you. Did you go to university to study what you're doing now?
Believe it or not, I'm actually still going to university to study what I'm doing. I'm running in my third year now. I started voice acting before I went to university, but my mentor, who really got me into this, he said that, hey, you know, it's not going to hurt if you go to BFA, especially if you can afford to go to college, in which I said, yeah, I can get in, because I wanted to get in for video games originally, so I could take this strange long route to get to voiceover, because thinking if I could code the video games, I could write the video games, then maybe I can voice the video games. And then he said, no, don't do that. Just go to the BFA, join the theater, do something like that. So now I'm studying BFA at Michigan State University.
What is BFA, might I ask, as I'm not too sure what that is?
That is Bachelor of Fine Arts in Acting. It just makes sure that I can get a degree without having to learn another language and all this other stuff that a regular just Bachelor of the Arts would get.
I'm with you.
So I can focus on acting mostly.
What made you want to become a voice actor or an actor in general?
So I remember distinctly where my journey began. I was 8 years old and I was watching cartoons with my aunt. And it was Ben 10, and at the time I had just started watching Naruto. And it finally clicked for me. I was like, why does Ben 10 sound like Sasuke? And my aunt had to say, oh, that's because they have the same voice actor.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's that? And she said, a voice actor. Basically, you go on, you record, and you are the cartoon character. And from that day on, I was like, oh, I want to do that.
I bet your mind was blown.
So when I was young, I wanted to do it. And then I kind of fell off of wanting to be a voice actor for a while. I wanted to, you know, do bioengineering. And then I wanted to do geology for a time, because I was obsessed with rocks for some reason. And then I got back into voice acting when the world ended with the pandemic, and I met some friends via Discord. They invited me to a Discord server where voice acting was kind of a thing, and that's where I met my mentor, Hunter Peterson. He's an ingenious voice actor. He's very, very well connected within the community, and he's the voice of Lemonade, the YouTube channel, and he's got his own channel now called Hi There Hunter. He's a great guy. I love him so much, and he's given me the swift kick in the ass that I've needed every now and again. Say, no, you're doing this wrong. So a lot of love to him.
It's nice that you got a mentor. And was that a struggle for you trying to find your feet then about that person?
You know, finding a mentor, it's certainly something I recommend that everyone does if they want to get into this crazy world that we call the arts, because a mentor has gone through all the issues. They have the wisdom. They can give them to you. And I've been lucky to find a few mentors in my career thus far. And my career is only about realistically 3 years old. I've been practicing for years and years. And I'd like to say that I've been practicing since, you know, 2016. But in reality, I was just a kid, you know, with a goofy microphone doing silly voices. It wasn't until the pandemic hit that I actually started seeing this as like, oh, I can make money off this if I do this, this, and this. And so I met Hunter during the pandemic, and then he kind of helped guide me through things up until my first year at university was done. And once I got through that, they introduced me to an alumnus, Andrew Buck, another great guy, and he's very quick to respond. And what I found out is I lived on the Hawaiian Islands for most of the pandemic and all throughout high school. And their phone number starts with 808. So when I got the email for Andrew, I found out his phone number is 808. So we clicked over both being from MSU. We both clicked over being Hawaiians. And so, you know, we got really close through that. And he's been helping me so far. Sadly, I am at that point in every voice actor's career where you're in limbo. You can't quite find an agent just yet, but you're right there. You got all your demo reels, your resume, everything lined up. And every few months I text him, I'm like, hey, what do I do here? And he's like, well, keep going with what you're doing.
Come on. So,
yeah, it sucks. But having those mentors is very nice because they've already made the mistakes. They can impart their wisdom on you. And there are some mistakes you just have to make. And I've made plenty of them. I sent cringy self-made demo reels to agencies. I've sent a completely bullshit resume out once. I heavily regret that. I've sent out muddy headshots that I captured myself. And looking back on it now, I severely regret it. But, you know, that's just one of those things that makes you
better within your career.
Yeah, yeah.
If I could have skipped those steps, I would have, but... Sadly, you know, yeah, it just had to happen. Yeah.
I got you. And do you find now that you're on TikTok a bit more success for yourself?
I find a bit of success every now and again. I've been contacted by a few indie developers. I've been contacted by a few people who are like, hey, love your voice acting. Could you audition for this? But I still find a lot of my roles via X or Casting Call Club, which I don't use as often because they're... I don't want to say that they're cheap. It's just the people on there posting jobs are like, I need you to read 100,000 words for a Cliff Bar and a high five as payment.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are gigs that would normally rake in, you know, $2,000 for doing them. So it's just, I don't use it as often anymore. But overall, TikTok has helped a lot when it comes to publicity. I can finally say that I... You know, when they say any socials you have, I said, yeah, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram that I don't use, Snapchat that I don't use. And really, the TikTok is the one that brings them in because they're like, oh, wow, you have so many and so many followers and a whole bunch of samples. Because at the end of the day, those videos that I do, the format that I do is I describe the voice and I do a small monologue and I treat the audio, I provide background, and those are all self-made samples. And as much as the industry says, well, you should really get samples from work you've already done, I don't have time.
No, I get
Plus,
that.
Most of my stuff's under NDA, so I can't.
No, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
So TikTok has really helped. It's also helped me reach out to a bunch of people, or rather, a bunch of people have reached out to me saying, hey, I love voice acting. I love the content. How do I get in a voiceover? And I've been meaning now for a long time to kind of write a generic step-by-step guide, but it's really nice to connect to people who are so excited and they are just like I was
3 years ago. Yeah, so yeah.
You know, if I can be the hunter for somebody else, if I can be the Andrew for somebody else, I try to be even if it is very limited to one DM back and forth.
I get that. What advice would you give someone that's just starting out, someone that's just watched Ben 10 and gone, oh, the voice acting there is incredible? What advice would you give that person that wants to do what you're doing?
All right, so the first thing I would recommend is you've got to learn how to act in general. I'd say if there's a workshop near you in person, definitely go to that because voice acting is still acting. You're going to learn a lot of good stuff from regular acting coaches, even if they're, you know, they're like, well, you're here to act, not voice act. You're still going to learn a lot from them. Go to voiceover classes because oftentimes they're taught by other voice actors, voice directors, and all of these people. Some of them might even hear your voice and be like, oh, I want that.
I want that in my roster. And
yeah,
exactly. And if you're strapped for cash, go into Discord servers. That's a wonderful invention that we've had where you can go in, meet these awesome people. And there's big names making these, like Voice Acting Club is created and run by Kira Buckland,
any of the anime fans out there know as, you know,
Mitsuru Kanroji from Demon Slayer, 2B from Nier Automata. Like, she's great. And she'll have guests on there like Crispin Freeman and all these other big names that you've heard. And so I guess just connect and learn how to act. All the tech stuff, all the microphones, all the other stuff, those are kind of secondary. You want to make sure you have that skill. And I don't want to say talent, even though that's what people tend to call it. I don't want to call it talent because my voice sucked for a long time, I will say. I had a squeaky, I had a messy, I couldn't control my pitch. I was all over the damn place. But once I actually honed my craft, I was able to, you know, get a silky smooth voice that you hear in these videos where I can change the pitch, I can make it go down, I can make it go up, I can do all kinds of stuff. So, and don't be afraid of failure. And I know this one's very cliche, but this is an industry that has a lot of rejection. I would know. I'm still not in an agency because of rejection.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but you can't take the loss too seriously. You might hear from somebody and they'll be like, yeah, we're totally going to sign you on. And then you never hear from them again. It happens. It really does.
How do you deal with rejection? Like, I know a lot of people that are starting out, we're going to get email after email after email saying, no, we're not interested. No, sorry, not this time. Sorry, not right place, not right time. How do you deal with that rejection?
Well, I'd say the benefit of voiceover, especially when it comes to this industry, is they don't send you a no, we're not interested. They just don't send you anything. If you are not part of the project, if the project has fallen through, if you weren't the right pick or anything like that, you'll never know. The only time you'll get an email saying something is if you got in. At least that's my experience.
Yeah.
So what I do is I audition for a project and I kind of just take it out of my mind. I just forget that it ever happened. I write it down in a spreadsheet just to say, hey, this is the person I sent it to. Here's the email I sent it to. Here's what it was. And then just forget it ever happened. If the email comes back and says, hey, Lucas, we liked your audition. Could you do a few more of these? I go to the spreadsheet and I say,
let's see, who we got? Oh, that's right. And so,
yeah. So I'd say rejection is much more, understandable in the voiceover world because it's not like you're going into a live audition and they're like, yeah, we'll be in contact. And you can hear it in their voices.
Like, you will not be back in contact, yeah. I get you.
We will not be back in contact. At least with voiceover, you just kind of get a silence. Bye. So, yeah, I'd say rejection.
It hurts the first few times, but you just got to get a thick skin with this industry. And that goes for all things acting, art, all that. All of the arts require thick skin. But you kind of build that naturally, I'd say.
How does networking work for you? Now, networking for me is like I would know someone that knows somebody, and then that person's looking for someone that wants help with ADing or locations. How does that work for acting and voice acting?
So for voice acting, it really is a matter of, have I interacted with this person, like in a class? Because I know that, especially with
a lot of anime voice actors, a lot of people at Crunchyroll and all these different,
we call them interactive medias,
like video games and all that kind of stuff.
It really is just a matter of, do I know this guy who's suddenly a director? Like, have I taken a class with him before? Does he know who I am and all that? Because I tell you what, one contact that I have or pseudo have is Kyle Phillips. And I met him just by watching his Twitch streams. And for those of you who don't know, Kyle Phillips, he's the voice of Denki Kaminari in My Hero Academia, and he's an amazing voice director. And I watched his streams. He's a funny guy, but I found out that he's doing on his Discord server, he was doing a meet and greet, so I hopped in line. I got 5 minutes with him. I said, hey, voice acting, I'm brand new to this. What do I do? And he laid it all out for me, and I said, okay. Thanks.
And I haven't really heard from him since.
Oh, right.
just the other day I was on TikTok and I found his TikTok account and I just sent him a DM. I was like, hey, Mr. Phillips, just checking in, letting you know that I took your advice. I got all my ducks in a line. I'm doing good. I'm hoping that I can do even better so I can see you in the field. Thank you so much for your advice all those years ago, and I will see you later.
And that's just it. I didn't try. Wanted to. Yeah, believe me when I said I wanted to. I wanted to text him and be like, hey, Kyle, man,
what up, man?
You got any openings?
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm starving here, man. But networking is very much about charisma as much as it is just knowing who you know.
Auditions will always give you a contact because if they looked at your file, they know who you are. Even if they don't contact you again, that's another name. You might as well put it on your spreadsheet just in case they come back 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 years later saying, hey, you auditioned for this. Can you try auditioning for this? So networking is just about finding people and just having them remember you. The saying that my friends and I used to have when we were like fresh in the industry and not quite intermediate where we're at is show up in someone's folder.
Yeah.
Your voice, you may not be in the folder that gets casted, but you're saved somewhere.
You're somewhere.
They remember you.
I got you.
Yeah, so that's about where networking, and obviously there's so many ways of networking that I haven't explored yet. There's probably, you could probably go into a first person shooter game and randomly end up in a call with them just because you're on the same team, and you'll be like, oh my gosh, you're Alejandro Saab. Hey, how do you think of my voice?
So there's hundreds of ways to do it.
But I highly recommend get a class, because oftentimes they're taught by that, and just keep auditioning. That's the meat and potatoes of it.
How do you channel your characters? Now, I've watched your TikToks, and of course, you'll have a character on the left-hand screen, right-hand screen, and you will do a voice. How do you channel that character?
One of my favorite things to do when it comes to characters is I build from the voice and keep going down. It's one of the reasons why my in-person acting, my stage acting professors hate me, because I'll be doing this epic voice and my body's going to just squirming around and trying to figure out what it's doing. But when it comes to that, I do just like I do in the videos, where I look at the guy, I say, okay, he's got, you know, a broad chest, he's got a tiny mouth, he's a chain smoker or something like that. And I'll just think, okay, what's another character that's like this? What's another character that's done this, that, or the other? In one of my more recent ones, I did a screaming Scotsman in a suit of armor.
Yeah.
And I just had to come up with a scene on my own to be like, okay, what's happening here? He's got columns of steam. He's a big dude. Okay, let's just do an aggressive voice. All right, let's just do an aggressive charging voice. You know what? Let's do a freaking Viking.
Let's not just do a Viking.
Let's do a Viking from How to Train Your Dragon. And ultimately, that's how I get to it. I'm just like, okay, if I was in How to Train Your Dragon, what would I sound like? And then once you get the voice, okay, if I was a character from How to Train Your Dragon in a big copper mech crashing into a castle wall, what would I sound like? And then you just have to get into character. You have to get into their mindset. You have to get into their energy. One thing that I do, and I don't show it on camera as much because I look like a goofball when I do, even though I already look like a huge fucking goof in my videos, is I will get my entire body engaged. I know that when I recorded the Scotsman one, what you saw was an APR where I recorded over, I did reverse APR actually. I recorded the line and I was running, I was screaming, I was jumping my arms up and down. And then because it looked so awful and it kind of corrupted a little bit, I re-recorded myself saying the line and I looked just completely like I was just standing there. And the lip movement matched and all that, but I just looked so bored. I looked so low on energy, even though the line is screaming into the mic. So getting into character is honestly just, hey, what does this sound like? Or how can I attribute this? And oftentimes they'll in an audition, you might have specs where they'll tell you, we want a bold, gloomy, sometimes his voice goes down kind of character. All right, that's just Sephiroth. Hold on. And then just listen to Sephiroth lines and, you know, do something akin to that.
I was going to say, yeah. Can you show us your Scottish impression of the How to Train Dragon mech suit?
So I know that the How to Train Your Dragon one, it's obviously I go into a Scottish accent, and I haven't done a Scottish accent in a long time, so I sometimes get some of the vowels wrong, and I might say some words that aren't actually Scottish, and occasionally I'll slip into Irish, and I know that's going to offend a lot of people, and a lot of people get mad when that happens, but I stay in the Scottish accent, and then I've got to get some rumble in my throat, roll the R's, really feel it deep in the throat, and then just you want to have a lot of power coming from your diaphragm and just forcing it up. When you have more air forcing it up your throat, it's much easier to rumble and gravel, and then you just gotta scream some kind of line. And I write the lines beforehand.
Nice.
And then I'll write the lines and then I'll remember like half of them and improv the rest. It's bad practice, but I mean, it works apparently.
Yeah,
so.
Fair enough, yeah. Do you think it helps to know characters that's already out there? For example, is it important to know how Mickey Mouse sounds to Kermit the Frog, to Elmo, to your basic cartoon characters, really?
I think absolutely. One thing that I did learn when I was writing, and I still write a little bit today, is if you are ever in a stage of art block or writer's block or sometimes called actor's block where you just don't know what you're doing, you don't know how you're going to pull this audition off, it's time to stop writing, stop drawing, stop recording, and just start listening, reading, or watching. You got to consume media so that you can get inspired. And I think knowing characters is good, but you don't have to know, you know, Arthur from the 17th Fire Emblem game in this one specific line.
Yeah.
I think it's good to know archetypes more so than it is to know specific characters, unless you're doing impressionists. Because I know, like, if you want to do, you know, Kermit the Frog, obviously you got to know how to, you know, turn your voice into something like this and do Kermit the Frog. And then you study his prosody, you study the way he talks, and you'll get it down. But study archetypes more of is what I'd recommend. Study the next door neighbor. Study the villain who thinks he's the main villain, but is really just the episode one villain. Study the gambler, the smooth guy, the Western cowboy. Like, study your archetypes more so, and you'll be able to figure it out much easier. I always attribute the archetypes to media, so I know what clips to listen to, so I can be inspired.
Oh, fair enough. I get that. I knew you were coming on, so I prepped my Mickey Mouse. Might I give it a try?
Oh, absolutely. I need to hear this now.
Oh, boy!
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
That's the stuff.
Thank you. I knew you were coming on. I had to prep some voices. Not very good voice. Can I confirm? I'm not an actor, not a voice actor, but I knew you were coming on, and I just practiced in the mirror for about 10 hours, going, right, I can do this.
You got this. Yeah. I think one of the things that a lot of people come into voice acting thinking is just like, I can do. You can do Kronk from Emperor's New Groove, but like, can you do Kronk when he's crying? And that's where a lot of people are like, no. I said, yep. So you got to learn how to act if you're going to do voice acting. You know, silly voices go a long way.
Yeah.
But you get even further if you know how to make them cry. Or make them scream, or do something like that.
That's very true, to be fair. I see what you're saying, because if I just did a little impression of Mickey there, but I only did Mickey from what I've seen on TV, so I've just taken the voice I've heard and, you know, brought it back to the screen with you and me, but I don't really know how Mickey Mouse would cry. I don't know if he's happy, I don't know if he's sad, I don't know how to act like that. So that was just me messing around and doing an impression, but if you asked me to do Mickey Mouse crying, I haven't got a clue.
And I will say this. I know I just kind of said, like, you know, impressions are not voice acting. That's where you start, though. That's where a lot of people start. I know my friend JT Voiceover, look him up. He's really good at this. He is really good at doing his voice. And the benefit of doing his voice is that no one else has his voice.
Mm.
So while I definitely take the approach of trying to match characters that I've seen, and I'm very... At least for a time, I was very not confident in my own voice. I was like, I sound like I'm not done with puberty yet. Or I sound like an anime character that's depressed. Or, but all this kind of stuff. But JT, he really helped me understand the value of voice because he plays certain characters. Certain characters sound like him. Or rather, he sounds like these characters look. And some call it typecasting. Others call it just looking for what works.
Yeah.
And for him, he's got a very specific archetype. And I can, if there's ever a list of characters for a project, I can send him a DM and be like, found one for you.
Amazing.
You're doing this guy on page 7. That's you. So
that's quite cool though, that you know how his voice works and you know that his voice would fit a certain character. So that's quite an interesting way of doing it. That's again networking in different ways. That's really, really cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I know for every single project I send him, he sends me another one back.
So, oh, that's nice. It's like a return favor. That's really nice to know.
Exactly.
I have to hear, I'm afraid I have to ask this, because we're going to get into the swearing bit in a second. But I have to hear.
Oh, please.
I have to hear your British. I have to hear your UK.
Oh, okay. So this, I have to give you a fair warning. When I was growing up, I spoke in an Australian accent. To annoy my friends and family.
Yeah.
So whenever I do a British accent, I have like a 95% chance of slipping into Australian.
Well, I'll be the judge of that. Go for it.
Okay. All right. So doing a British voice, I always think back to any kind of interview with Tom Holland and how he will go from American to British very, very quickly. And I also, there was one documentary that I saw, and it was... how you can immediately tell if an actor is putting on a British accent, and that's by the way that they say the word daughter. Because in British, it's daughter, but if you have, say, an American actor, you would have something along the lines of daughter. And, or sorry, that's really bad, but
they would say it
daughter, like you would in American English. But so yeah, I do a few things here and there. I actually took a class on accents where we learned RP, we learned Cockney, and I forgot all of it. So Derek, if you're listening, my professor, I'm very sorry, but I'm doing my best. So
amazing.
I usually stick to American because I'm not confident in my British skills, and yet I will get those specs for it. Just like, we need British, but like, if you need to do transatlantic because you're not good at British, go for it. So
swearing time, are you ready?
Swearing time. Oh, I'm so fucking ready.
Fine. Great, you're already on board. Right, so in the industry that we work in, there's a lot of swearing. Okay, now when I'm on set working on whatever film I'm working on, I might hear some common phrases like fuck's sake, shit, bastard, wanker, etc. My question is this: when have you ever heard swearing that you thought was perfectly correct for one of your characters? For example, is it a cartoon character that you never imagined would swear, like Ben 10, or is it a character you've seen and gone, I could see him swearing?
Okay, so it's a very specific role, and I remember this one. I auditioned for it. I don't think I got in, but I heard that the project kind of went under for a bit. But it was this, it was an Australian character, so I was very in my element. And I don't know what the context of the phrase was, because it was just a random audition line. But it was just a few words, and it was, you muffin fucker. And that line has stuck with me ever since. And I so badly want to know the context of what that line was for, but I don't think I ever will.
Muffin fucker. I've never heard that
muffin
before.
Muffin fucker.
Never heard that before in my life. That's such a weird way of saying it.
I know. It's so weird. But I, you know, it's fun. I will say that, like, naturally. Like, when I remember I stubbed my toe once in front of my professor, and I did that, and I was already in the Australian accent, so I just said that. He just said, what? I said, it's a long story.
Here's a question for you. Who do you think's got more of a potty mouth, Ben 10 or Phineas Fletcher from Phineas and Ferb?
See, I gotta think in terms of who I can actually hear swearing.
Mm.
Since I've heard Yuri Lowenthal swear on many occasions, I can naturally picture Ben 10
shouting the word fuck if he gets the wrong transformation.
Just turns into I'm trying to remember what the characters are from Ben 10.
He wants to turn the humongous, or he gets upchuck. Fuck.
That'd be so funny.
I would love to see you rated R Ben 10. That would be so much
that
fun.
That would be so cool. I was pitching this the other day about what characters are like off screen. Let's pretend that the worlds they live in are real and the cameras are turned off. Or the actual characters are actors. I'm just picturing what they would be like offset. Like, if Ben 10, what would he do on his daily basis when he's going around swearing? Or Phineas?
Yeah.
Or even Mickey Mouse, you know? Just
when he's going back to his trailer and he's just like, oh, these fucking directors, man.
Exactly that, fuck's sake. They want me to do what? A roller coaster? Fucking hell, not again.
They want me to build an elevator to space?
Fucking hell, do we have the budget for this?
Just the idea of just pops it like Mickey Mouse. He goes away, oh, fuck's sake! Oh, not again!
Oh, you motherfuckers!
That's brilliant. I love that.
There's a skit, and I remember it word for word. It's staying the night at the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and it's exactly that. Goofy, open this motherfucking door! Make me, bitch! And it's just back and forth, and I love that video so much, because it's exactly what we're talking about, where these characters are cursing back and forth.
My question now, though, is what is your favorite swear word? Now, in every podcast, everyone tells me their favorite, and it differs from fuck to bollocks to prick, but what is your favorite swear word?
I gotta say, mine, in comparison to, like, you know, fuck and shit and all these other ones, I can't help but love a good damn. Because damn is very versatile, in my opinion. Because, you know, you can have it in a good, like, damn. Or you can have, like, damn. you know, it, like every wheel of the emotional spectrum, or sorry, every segment of the wheel of the emotional spectrum can fit into that word. Mm. And I think there's other curse words that can do it, but I think damn is just one of those ones where it's very natural. It very much rolls off the tongue. You can add it to any sentence. Like, it's like salt. You can add it to any dish and it flavors it up pretty well.
Yeah.
And I saw this once. I don't remember what documentary it was, but somebody put it very clearly. They said, you know, fuck, fuck is very strong. He's very strong. But damn is like his little sideman. So fuck goes like, fuck. And damn's like, damn. So, yeah, that's why damn is one of my favorite curse words. Even if it is very mellow.
Yeah, you know? It's nice though. It's nice. I think mine, it's not hard hitting, but I like fuck. Fuck is one of those words that you could, again, you could say it any way. Like, oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, just fuck off. There's many ways exactly. You can use it in a sentence that just explains how you're feeling, and then that person understands where you're going with. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Fuck is like the big brother of damn, yeah. I feel like.
I like that. Big brother of damn.
Fuck is when you graduate from damn.
Yeah.
If I was to today give you a part of any character you would like in the world, no matter what it is, what role would you like to be?
Oh, I'd say one of the lines, and I have this in my demo reel. You can find it on X. It's like the only post that I have there. My demo reel has a line where I did a sample from Journey to the West, which is the story of Tripitaka and Sun Wukong. And I voiced Sun Wukong in that. And if there is ever, ever another production of Journey to the West besides the Lego one that was made, I will fight tooth and nail to be Sun Wukong. All day. And you can listen to the demo reel. That's one of the only ones where I will say I can make it work.
Trust me.
Put me in, coach.
Do you find it quite difficult to audition? For example, let's say this was an audition now between you and I. Do you find it difficult to do it like this over Zoom and Teams? Or do you find it easier to be in front of your microphone with no one around and you can actually channel the character?
The thing is, 95% of auditions are the latter of the two. Where you're just there, you have your microphone, you have the script maybe on another monitor, or maybe you're just looking at it because you printed it out because you still have a printer for some reason. And you're looking at it and you're breaking it down. You can mark up the sheet. It's certainly easy to do. But even though it happens very rarely, I love in person because I can ask, you know, hey, is that what you wanted? Do you want a bit more? Do you want a bit less? And it feels like an actual recording session. I feel very in the element. You know, even if I don't get in, those people have not only heard me, they've heard what voices I can do, they've heard my normal range, my character range. They also know that I work like this, or I fit the way that they work, or I don't fit the way that they work. They know my personality. If I can make them laugh, I know that I've got them, at least somewhat. So I do like that personable side of it, but I know for a fact that most auditions are going to be very very on your own. So a big part of voice acting is knowing how to direct yourself. And that is one of those skills that I am still working on to this day.
Would you rather be working in animation as like voice acting or games, like video games?
So the thing is, those two, they're not synonymous with each other, but 9 times out of 10, if you're voicing an anime, the game people want you, or if you're voicing in games, the anime people might want you. Mm. So I will say if I'm thinking about pay, I definitely want to be in a video game because,
not that anime companies don't pay at least a amount, but I've heard many times over that it's not the greatest amount.
You're more doing anime for the sake of clout or, you know, putting out a video that says I'm the voice of so-and-so from so-and-so. So please subscribe. I need
subscribers to make up for the
super tiny paycheck that they gave me.
Yeah.
But I will say video games they're a lot longer to voice, especially if it's like Arthur Morgan or Joel from, what's it called?
Red Dead?
Red Dead. I know Arthur Morgan's Red Dead, but Joel from The Last of Us. That is a lot of script to go over. And it's a lot of people making sure things are good. It's a lot of, you know, it's musical directors, it's choreographer directors. Everyone's in the room with you. You might have up to 10 people sitting in there. For animation, you've got like 2 people. You've got the sound mixer and the director. Maybe you have another director if they're feeling like coming in from their lunch break. But, you know, I could honestly go either way. I love animation just because, especially with, Japanese media taking the stage now, And me speaking Japanese, it's certainly much more fun to
see how it goes.
I say I speak Japanese. I'm not fluent. I just, you know, I figured it out. I can kind of do it. I have the seal of biliteracy, but and then I didn't practice for like 5 years. So I think I might be screwed in that regard.
Do you think it's important to learn a different language? Like, for example, anime, of course, is a Japanese art form, and an American animation like your Disney and your DreamWorks. Do you think it's important to learn the different ranges and the different accents and the different voices, really?
I certainly have the mentality of it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. When it comes to accents, in my videos, I've tried to showcase as many as the good ones as I can do. I know my Spanish accent has a little bit left to be desired, but I can at least pull it off in Spain.
My British accent, as you heard, is at least needs a little bit of work.
But man, I've been practicing Australian for 15 years, and I any audition that says Australian on it, I say, okay, I got this. Because I use American sites, and not all Americans have that accent on lock, like I certainly think I do. Scottish is another one where I'm pretty confident in that, but having those accents is good. Language-wise, I don't think you need to learn the whole language, but I think you should definitely learn how to pronounce things. If your character is going to be French, it's better to know how French people say certain words. It's better to, and this of course falls back into accents, but you know, learning a bit of the language helps you learn the accent. Like for Japanese, I never do auditions that say Japanese accent because I'm not Japanese American, and that would be kind of, you know, America would eat me alive if I did that, I know. But I know that when I'm pronouncing things, it's I, E, U, E, O for the vowels, and that's it. There's no gaps. There's no other vowels besides that. It is just those. So pronouncing things is much easier. Like Naruto. A lot of Americans say Naruto, but you know, Yuri Lowenthal, who also speaks Japanese, always says Naruto, and he's got that tapped R in there. And that might be a thing that the directors were like, oh, that sounds cool. I think Sasuke would say it like that. And then the director might go, no, Naruto with an R, okay? Let's get it together. So I'd always say just have it and not need it. And, you know, and obviously it can go on the resume too. And if you can do 18 different accents, they'll be like, okay, so so we need a random Norwegian accent. Who do we got? Well, we got this one guy. Bring him in. So, yeah, definitely.
There's a actor recently, we all know him. His name, obviously, I'm talking about Chris Pratt here. He's now doing a lot of voice acting for very nostalgic cartoons, for example, Mario to Garfield to Lego Movie. And I've noticed that his voice never changes. It's the same voice in all three of these parts. Do you think that's a choice by the director? Do you think that's a choice of himself? Do you think he can do an Italian voice for Mario?
I'd say, so one thing that I will say, as a fellow Italian-American, he kind of went there with the accent with Mario. I will say that he didn't have the prosody, he didn't have the lift in his voice that the original Mario did, so I was kind of missing on that, and I know a lot of the audience was. I haven't seen Garfield, so I don't know how it looks, but I've been told it is his voice.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, it can work. It certainly works with a lot of full-time voice actors. Like, I know Zach Aguilar, the voice of Tanjiro and Genos and all that. He will do one of two voices, in my opinion. He will either do his high-pitched range, or he will drop his voice so low I can't recognize him. But his regular range voice just works on some characters. And I think that's the idea that the directors were going with Chris Pratt. It was like, it's Chris Pratt. It'll work. It didn't, but I'm sure they thought that. I think you said Lego Movie, and that, in my opinion, is Chris Pratt's best voiceover role. He fits that character perfectly. He made that character, so, you know, it makes sense. But that is one of those times where I think that's good. That's where it needs to be. Everything else is just star power, in my opinion.
Of course, yeah. I was going to say, like, other actors, for example, they don't do much voice acting, but Ryan Reynolds, for example, his voice...
Oh, Ryan Reynolds is amazing. I love that man.
Sorry, I'm not here to insult him. I'm just saying that his voice, you can tell it's Ryan Reynolds by his voice. He never changes his voice. He's always playing the same character in almost every of his films.
I mean, that's true. That's very true. However, I will say, for something like Ryan Reynolds, he does have a very iconic voice. Just like, you know, Tom Hanks, James Earl Jones, these people all have very iconic voices, so that when you hear Darth Vader or you hear Deadpool, you know, oh, that's Ryan, or oh, that's James Earl Jones. And it works in some regards, and I think, and this is of course just my opinion,
yeah,
Ryan is very good at picking roles that fit his voice, and he doesn't really use star power as much as I've seen other actors do it. One of the characters/actors that I and I, of course, I don't want to, you know, throw shade or anything, but I think kind of needs to cut back is Dwayne Johnson.
Okay.
The Rock. And don't get me wrong, I love The Rock. As a fellow person from the islands, I love The Rock. I think his role in Moana as Maui was incredible. That was top notch. That was great casting. I felt it very much. So I'd say that Hollywood just needs to cut back on the star power, and, you know, some voices are iconic. They're meant to be. And we have it in the voiceover world too. Yuri Lowenthal. I can almost always find Yuri Lowenthal in a production. Or Troy Baker. I can always find Troy Baker. Ray Chase. I can find Ray Chase in a second. But that's not a bad thing. If the character matches your voice, character matches your voice. You got it. So Hollywood has a harder time gauging that, though, I think. They love their star power.
They do.
And their millions of dollars they spend on it.
So a lot of women in the industry obviously voice a lot of teenage boys, a.k.a. Timmy Turner and Tommy Pickles from Rugrats are voiced by women. What do you think of that? Do you think their range works for that? Why would they not hire a male actor to do that role?
I will tell you right now, I have only ever met one other voice actor, professional or not, that can go down to that or go up to that kind of range. I think I was first introduced to this concept, like you said, with Timmy Turner and Tara Strong voicing him. And that was incredible, in my opinion. I couldn't tell, especially as a kid, which is, you know, the main target audience of that. I couldn't tell. It was just Timmy Turner. And I think if a female voice actress can disappear into the role like that and convince the audience that, you know, it's teenage boy, like Christina V voicing Killua and Erica Mendez voicing Gon in Hunter x Hunter, I can't tell. You know, if I'm looking for it and I'm trying to find, okay, where can I see that's a female character? If you look for it, of course you're going to find it, but if you're just there to enjoy the show, a good voice actress will be able to just disappear into it.
I got you.
And I, believe me, if I could get up to that range, I would audition for all of those. But I know when I do that, I sound like a rubber hose character. It's really bad. And it also hurts my throat when I do it. So I tend to steer clear of that.
What would you tell your younger self that you've learned now? For example, what life lessons have you learned during your journey?
I would definitely tell him where to audition, because I wasted probably about a year and a half going to castingcallclub.com and not finding the auditions that would actually make it. I was going into projects that if I looked at them today, I would tell them right off the bat, that's going to fail. That doesn't have any funding. That's going to fall right through. Don't audition for that. Audition for this. And younger me probably would have said, there's already 163 people applying for that. I don't care, younger me. Apply for it. Do the audition. You literally have no downside. You spend 20 minutes doing this, and what else are you going to do? And I would say that. And the other thing I would say is just take more classes. Oh my gosh. Back in the day where I could just, you know, kind of chill at home and all the money that I made, I could spend it on whatever I wanted. I should have been spending it on classes, especially as I was transitioning into university.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There are people who are 3 years younger than me, just getting into the industry now. They've already got an agent. They've already got a role with Crunchyroll. They've already got all this kind of stuff. If I had just done this, I could have been them. But everyone's got their own journey.
Maybe.
You got to live it up. And because I didn't do that work back then, I got to do it now. I got to wait for the agent. I got to do this, that, and the other. But that's just what happens.
Do you think you mentioned earlier that theater is very important, you would say, to learn how to act. Is it tricky to fall into theater and forget about voice acting? Because they're all very different ways of acting.
They are. And when I first got to the university, I mentioned that to the head of the BFA, Ryan Welsh. He's an amazing guy. I love him so much. I went to his office during office hours, and I was like, hey, when I auditioned to get in the BFA, I sat around in your council, and you interviewed me, and you saw that I was a voice actor. Do we have any voice acting stuff here yet? Like, is there a class I need to be taking? He's like, sorry, man, not quite yet. We have mostly theater classes, but learn how to act. I mean, what's the downside? If you learn how to act, you're definitely going to, you know, it's going to help your voiceover journey because you're still, you know, it's all acting. Granted, you're going to be moving around a lot more and, you know, you might be doing theater monologues, which are, you know, they're great in their own right. They're not. He basically chalked it up to, you got this, man. Just stick with it and, you know, you got this, okay? And he was very much, you got this, man. Don't worry about it. Fast forward about 3 semesters, I'm about to go into a voiceover class. They're bringing somebody in so that they can do the voiceover class. I'm going into an improv class and all that other kind of stuff. It sounds like I'm doing this for fun. I'm doing this for a career. But in that, I've taken a movement class. I've taken an accents class, like I mentioned before. And I've taken all the levels of acting that I can, and I will tell you right now, theater is a completely different beast. You have that absolutely downright. It is much louder. It is much more overacted. It is very, very different. But if you want to be in anime and you want to be in video games, overacting is exactly what you need to do. Mm-hmm. You need to be loud. You need to address the people in the back. Because if you're Zenitsu, Alex Lee's character in Demon Slayer, you were going to be screaming your lungs out all day. So practice that in theater where they can tell you how to do it correctly. And, you know, a lot of people think that it's just sitting in a booth. You can't sit here in the booth. When I record, I'm standing up, like in all my videos. I'm moving my arms. I'm waving my head. If I'm looking at a character and they are in the scene taller, I'm looking up. So they will teach you how to move correctly. And moving helps your voice. Even if by a little bit, it will be more convincing. We were talking about Deadpool and Wolverine. I remember in Logan, you see any kind of stuff of Hugh Jackman doing APR, where they've got to redub because, you know, the wind was blowing or something else. And as he's doing that, he's running in place to match the running he did during his set. And like I said at the beginning, learn how to act. No matter how you got to do it. If it's all voiceover, great. They're probably going to tell you everything you need about voiceover. If it's theater and voiceover, great. You're going to learn how to do theater stuff as well as voiceover. If this voiceover thing is getting a bit slow, go to your local theater and see if they've got anything for you. And if it's camera acting, good. You have camera acting to fall back on. There's so many things on camera. And so just learning how to act in general, it is a broad skill. If you want to funnel yourself into voice acting, if you want to funnel yourself into camera acting, stage acting, or even miming, you can do whatever you want, but acting is a very umbrella category. No matter how you learn it, it's going to be good. Unless you learn it from somebody who doesn't know how to act themselves. In which case, you probably wasted your money.
I would agree. Yeah, absolutely. We're now getting to near the end of our podcast session, but obviously I'm going to ask you what you're up to next. What is your next gig? How can people find you?
Well, my next few gigs, I'm very happy to announce that I can't talk about the one that I just got into.
No way.
Because it's so big that it has an NDA. Oh.
I'm very happy that the NDA says that.
No way.
An NDA. Oh my gosh. I made it, guys. Yeah. All I can do is tell you that I got something with an NDA.
But I've done a whole bunch of other stuff in the past. I've done internet things. I am going to be a character in an upcoming demo and then full game for Serious Point Games in a good murder mystery, where I will, ironically enough, be playing a detective by the name of Lucas. Spelled with a K, too, just like me. The correct way to spell it, by the way. You can find me on YouTube. You can find me on TikTok. You can find me on X/Twitter. I pretty much use Mendevi or Lucas Mendevi. I'm not that original, but I'm professional enough so that you can find me by my name. So if you want to see me scream into a microphone as I find a picture to deconstruct a voice for, I'm on TikTok and YouTube. If you want my demo reel, that's on Twitter and that's on YouTube.
How I like to end it is I like us both to, at the count of three, to say our favorite swear word as to the top of our voices if we could possibly can, about waking up the neighbors, obviously.
Okay.
So after. Gotcha. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Fuck. Damn it!
Oh, that was amazing. Now, that was off. That
very
was,
cathartic.
That was very powerful. I love that. That was so good. And how I would like you to end this for me in your best either Tom Hanks or Morgan Freeman voice, I would like you to say thank you for watching or listening to Carry On Swearing, and I want you to swear your favorite swear word in that saying for me.
Gotcha. I would like to thank you for watching Carry On Swearing with us. Have a goddamn good day.
Perfect. It's been a pleasure talking to you, buddy, and I look forward to seeing what you get to next.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.